protected amino acids, it's very proved in technology. And it's like we like to say, it's not an additive, it's a nutrient that the cow has a need. And the research has shown that especially the high producing cow, they need to be supplemented on these amino acids. So to have the best support from your consultant, your nutrition, it's important to discuss with them the options of protein source that you have available in your region and to combine them with the amino acids to achieve the best production, the best health, but mainly more profitability for your business. It's not just by including the technology, but it's learning how is the best way of including in your situation, in your reality.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Adasail, provider of SmartAmine M, the best-in-class rumen-protected methionine product for dairy producers who want to optimize milk production. Kemin invites you to optimize your herd's performance. Dive in at kemin.com/dairy. Birdus Nutrition, the fatty acid people. Fortiva, creating ingredients for impact to support animal resilience and health. Learn more at fortivaimpact.com. Barnes is your trusted partner for Colon Plus FC, enzymes, yeast products, and macro minerals. To learn more, visit barnes-na.com/animal nutrition. Vitagro, the gut health experts, rumen protected, right where it matters. Sponsored by S. Milko Inc., specialists in calf and baby farm animal nutrition, delivering precision formulated milk replacers.
So hello everyone, this is Luis Ferrero, one of the hosts of the Dairy Nutrition Black Belt podcast. And today we have the opportunity to visit with Thalis Lelis, business director at Evonik Animal Nutrition. And Thalis will discuss with us a little bit about the dairy market in different areas in the world, as well as the use of different technologies that can help with the market. But before that, first, welcome Thalis. Thank you very much for joining us. Can you give us a brief background about yourself?
Hello. Thanks for having me here, Professor Luis. It's really great. I think it's a pleasure and a nice opportunity to be here with you at a podcast and discuss a little bit about our market, the dairy market. And so, yeah, I'm a vet. My background, it's a vet. I was graduated at the University Federal of Minas Gerais in Brazil. Nowadays, I'm working with Evonik Animal Nutrition. And I'm responsible for the ruminant sector at the Latin America market, especially focused in dairy. So yeah, this is a little brief of my background, but yeah, thanks again for having me here.
Yeah, absolutely.
At Barnes, we're more than just another feed additive company. We are driven by science, innovation, and an understanding of the challenges you face in the ever-changing world of animal agriculture. We are your trusted partner for new-to-market natural alternative to choline chloride, Colon Plus FC, as well as enzymes, prebiotics, probiotics, macro minerals. To learn more about our product offering, visit barnes-ne.com/animal nutrition. Together, there's always a better solution.
So please tell us a little bit about the dairy market right now in Brazil and Latin America, and how does that contrast with the other areas in the world in terms of how it works and the main differences that you see?
That's a nice question, especially because when I start working at Evonik, and Evonik as a German company, people from there look at Brazil and see statistics and they get crazy. Because when you look at them, they're going to tell you that you have around 200 million cows. Of course, not all dairy. And when you look at the dairy cows, you're talking about like 17, 16 million. It will depend. But not all of them, they are specialized in milk production, which means that we're going to start narrowing our market when we are looking for like the real professional dairy producers. We estimate, this is going to vary a lot, But we estimate that we're going to have around 2 million dairy cows specialized in like milk production. But this can, like some people will say that it can achieve like 4.5 million dairy cows. So it's still a market that lacks a lot of information. And this makes our life a bit more difficult. But the good thing about that is that we see a very good opportunity, because as we are observing the Brazilian dairy market, it's getting more and more professional. And we are seeing a decrease in the number of dairy cows, but also the dairy producers. But at the other side, the milk production didn't decrease, which means that these cows that we still keep in our system, they're getting more and more specialized or with more productivity. So it's nice because we see these changes, and they're not so low, like they're not slow, they're very fast. So we have a statistic that around 100,000 dairy producers leaves the activity per year here in Brazil. So it's a fast changing market.
Absolutely. And I think it resembles what we see in other areas, right? I think here in Wisconsin, we have a similar trend where the number of dairies is decreasing, but the number of cows and the number of milk production, it remains the same or higher, right? So I think that the dairies are consolidating, and I believe that this is going to be something that we'll see pretty much everywhere worldwide as we continue to move forward with dairy production. But you mentioned that the producers, they usually adapt technology very fast. And this is something that would be very important because it helps to not only add technology to the industry, but certainly helps with production and other aspects of the dairy industry. So tell us more about that. What type of technologies have you been working with and that you see good adoption by the industry?
Yeah, first thing that we are seeing, not only in Brazil, but other countries from South America like Uruguay, Peru, Chile, is that we see a trend of the farmers to start looking more on cow comfort or well-being. So it's a trend in Brazil. These new barns, not freestyle, but mainly compost barns that are being constructed here. So the guys, they have the cows on pasture, and now they're bringing them to the housing system. And just with that, we increase a lot the milk production. We're talking about that you're going to leave average on 18 liters per cow per day to 36, 34, just to give them more comfort. And when you look at the cow's diet, you have to improve it a lot. Because if my cow has better like situation, better well-being, but also it's increasing the milk, they're going to need more nutrients, they're going to need more additives to support that productivity. And one thing that we're doing is like bringing this technology to the producers. So bringing this to the farmers. And actually, we have to teach not just farmers, but many times consultants how to use this technology. And we're talking about like additives like protected methionine, protected amino acids, other source of protein, other source of oils that we're bringing also to the market. Essential oils also are working well in these systems. And we always have to remember that Brazil is still a tropical area. So it's not just keeping the cows in the barn. You have to help them to fight against mainly heat stress. So this is something that we are looking for in bringing more technology to support the milk production.
Absolutely. And I think all those technologies you mentioned are very common in other areas as well, you know, especially the use of rumen-protected amino acids, which is a very nice tool for diet formulation. Obviously, heat stress depending on the area, but even here in Wisconsin now, we actually see a lot of heat stress during the summer, which is something that maybe we don't think a lot about compared to areas like in Brazil, but it's definitely very important. So tell us a little bit more about how is the establishment of those technologies, how is the process of discussing with farmers and consultants in order to show them the importance of that? And then after that, how do you help them to actually implement that?
This is a very interesting question because it's our first target. It's not like bringing the product to the market, but especially like first test the product, see that they're working well, and then help advisors, consultants, nutritionists to know how to use it. So the main step that we are doing, the first step that we are doing, is to promote that technology by research. So we have this compromise with universities, with researchers to evaluate them at research level. And then we bring these the knowledge that we create to the group that we have, to the set of players that we have, not only the consultants, but sometimes also the farmer. You have to teach the farmer that it's needed that investment to help the cow produce a little bit more. And one thing that we are doing very interesting, it's the science tour. We have at Evonik this science tour where we take some customers or advisors to a certain part of the globe, and we help them to learn about this, what farmers are doing in different parts of the world. For example, a few days ago, we were at the World Dairy Expo in Wisconsin with a group of farmers and consultants, and we had the chance to go to the University of Wisconsin, have this seminar with Brazilian researchers that are there, where they present what they are producing of knowledge. So we have this compromise with our customers to help them access the knowledge that it's spread on the world. So that's why we call it Sciencing Tour, because it's a tour focused in science. So this is how we are looking nowadays. And it's very interesting and fun to do this together with them. Of course, we have to have a technical thing, but we also have to go by, like, have a little bit of fun.
No, absolutely. And I think it's a great way of showcasing and diffusing technology, right? Having the opportunity of having farmers and consultants to interact with academia and learn from the new research going on is also something interesting to basically prepare them to, hey, when this is ready to be used, here's where or why you have to use those. It is basically what we do for extension. So I think it's great that your team focus a lot on that. And for sure, it's something that more and more farmers will be intrigued about. So to finalize our podcast, tell us a little bit more of how do you see for farmers the use of rumen-protected amino acids? What is the best way of utilizing them? And why farmers should be using them?
I think protected amino acids, it's a very proven technology. And it's like we like to say, it's not an additive, it's a nutrient that the cow has a need. And the research has shown that especially the high producing cow, they need to be supplemented on these amino acids. So to have the best support from your consultant, your nutrition, it's important to discuss with them the options of protein source that you have available in your region, and to combine them with the amino acids to achieve the best production, the best health, but mainly more profitability for your business. It's not just by including the technology, but it's learning how is the best way of including in your situation, in your reality. So we are here to help people to understand it better and to discuss and create this, like, this knowledge together. So what we are offering our customers nowadays is like, let's discuss what is the best option or the more profitable option way to use the technology that we are bringing to the market. And this is what we need. So farmers, they're creating trust with us because we are helping them to get the best of the technology that they know that they need to use. And that's why we're doing almost, like you said, research and extension together with the players we have in the market. So this is what we want. We want them to look at us as like trust people that we're going to help you to bring the best solution for your farm.
Absolutely. And I think that's a great way of doing business. So thank you, Thales, for joining us today. Thank you at home for joining our podcast. And I hope to see you soon.
Thank you. Bye.